You may have heard the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. But what about dinosaurs of a feather? Evolutionists are debating amongst themselves over the origin of birds. In question are Chinese fossils that appear to be feathered dinosaurs. Stay tuned.
Having studied most of the specimens, I and many others do not find any credible evidence that these structures represent protofeathers.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. A popular evolutionary idea is that birds are descendants of dinosaurs. But do birds and dinosaurs mix genetically? Can feathers grow out of scales? And what about fossils found in the Liaoning province of China? Please join us for the next 15 minutes for part 2 of Feathered Dinosaurs. Last week, we looked at the impossibility of dinosaur-to-bird evolution and the concerns surrounding the so-called feathered dinosaur fossils. Today, we'll learn more about the fossils found in the Liaoning province of China, as well as discover just how incredible the design of feathers really are. We see in Scripture distinct categories of God's creation. So, although there's a lot we don't understand about dinosaurs, a genetic mix with birds seems biblically impossible. Dr. David Menton, Associate Professor Emeritus at Washington University School of Medicine, agrees that feathers are completely different than reptilian scales.
A scale and a feather are the most totally unrelated structures that I can think of. Now, it's true they both grow out of skin. They are what we call appendages of skin, or sometimes the word adnexa is used. And I think that if the listener will just give a little thought to what they already know about reptile scales, they'll see the fundamental difference right off the bat.
An example of the vast difference between scales and feathers would be how each are shed.
When a reptile sheds its scales, it doesn't shed them one at a time. It sheds the whole sheet of skin. I think we've all seen a snake skin or a lizard skin at one time or another that has been shed from a reptile, and it's all one piece. There is no gap between scales. When we look at a feather, we see a situation that's really much more analogous to a hair than it is to a scale. Feathers grow from follicles, just like hairs grow from follicles. So the first and most important thing I really want to say is that a feather is an extraordinarily complicated structure, totally unrelated to a reptilian scale, that grows from a follicle in the skin, and that's why birds don't shed all of their feathers as one continuous sheet, as reptiles shed scales. Rather, birds shed their feathers one by one. In fact, to be completely accurate, birds shed their feathers two by two.
And the structure of a feather is not as simple as it appears to be either.
If you look at the feather, as I have on many occasions under the scanning electron microscope, and you look at its profound complexity, it's like Velcro. It has little hooks and eyes, except this Velcro is infinitely more complicated than the kind that man has made. These little hooks and eyes actually have little hinges, they have little guide fingers. There are hundreds of thousands on a single feather. And these little hooks hook all the parts of the feather together. You've probably noticed this if you've taken a feather and ruffled it. You know, if you rub the feather the wrong way, it looks very raggy. That's because you have unhooked millions of hooks, perhaps, or at least thousands in running that feather the wrong way. And then if you just stroke it from the base of the feather to the tip, they all hook back together and the feather looks very, very smooth. And in this simple stroking motion, you have rehooked automatically, because they're in just the right position to do it, thousands of little hooks.
As we can see, because of their vast differences, feathers and scales just do not mix.
There's absolutely no biological reason to relate the two, except the prior commitment that the evolutionist has that birds have evolved from reptiles, and of course reptiles have scales. I find it simply shocking that scientists, life scientists, biologists, can even make such a claim that a reptile scale turns into the feather. There's not even the slightest evidence to support that.
But what about the so-called feathered dinosaur fossils found in the Liaoning province of China? And what are these alleged feathers anyway? Dr. Menton explains.
One of the more popular of the specimens that has been promoted is a creature called Cynosauroptix. Certainly this has been really touted in National Geographic magazine. This is a small, obviously, dinosaur. Nothing about it to suggest that this is a bird. If you look at it, it's a typical theropod-type dinosaur. And it has very tiny front limbs and very large back limbs for its body size. Has an extraordinarily long tail, very heavy rump, typical dinosaur-like head. So what on earth would lead anyone to think that this dinosaur, that is obviously a dinosaur, that it is pre-bird? Well, it's proto-feathers. They believe they see proto-feathers. Now, if you look along the margin of the fossil, okay, not over the top of the fossil, but along its margin or border, you can see what looks like little hair-like fuzz. In fact, this has come to be known among evolutionists themselves as dino fuzz.
This dino fuzz is not exclusive to these theropods.
There are several problems with this. The first that we can mention is that this so-called dino fuzz has not only been found on dinosaurs, but it's been found on pterosaurs, which are flying reptiles. In fact, it's led some to suggest that pterosaurs had hair. What's really interesting is you find dino fuzz on ichthyosaurs. Now, these are aquatic reptiles that sort of look superficially like a dolphin. What are aquatic reptiles doing with pre-feathers? And you find them in a number of other kinds of creatures. One thing we know about dino fuzz is you tend to see it on an amazing variety of animals found in certain localities. So that it turns out that many of the specimens from the Liaoning province area show this kind of fuzz.
So if dino fuzz is found on fossils in specific geographical locations, could it actually be caused by minerals surrounding the fossils rather than something protruding from the fossils?
I think the best guesstimate right now that has been proposed by Alan Fiducia, who's an expert on birds and evolution, is that this dino fuzz is really a precipitate of manganese, and it forms oxides along the surfaces of the bone fossils or at the perimeter, and you see this little halo. Alan Fiducia wrote an article in a recent issue of AWK, which is a magazine that deals with birds, in October of 2002, volume 119, page 1187, and he said, having studied most of the specimens said to sport protofeathers, I and many others do not find any credible evidence that these structures represent protofeathers. Many Chinese fossils have that strange halo of what has become known as dino fuzz. And he believes that it may be the manganese.
So in what kind of deposit in northeastern China were these dinosaurs found? ICR geologist Bill Hoche.
These ancient lake beds represent a deposit that's about 2,000 meters thick. It's about 6,000 feet thick, and it extends over 8 million square kilometers if you included lateral equivalents to this deposit. So it's an enormous deposit of material, dominantly volcanic ash, which is a catastrophic influx of material.
Which can only mean rapid burial.
There's no major erosional surfaces separating one layer from another. It looks like it all got dumped in sequence, you know, with these fossils in them. And so the whole thing, it's begging for a more coherent explanation, right? And rapid burial, I think, even in terms of a single year-long flood, I think you could explain this kind of thing.
It's interesting that lots of different organisms were discovered in this same deposit.
Get this. About 60 plant species have been identified so far. This has only been found. This quarry has only been mined for 10 years or so. And among those plant species are the first angiosperm. They've actually found plants with fruit on them or flowers on them. They rightly call this the Pompeii of China, of the Mesozoic of China. It's an incredible discovery, and I think it's going to put to shame all other deposits in the entire world when the dust settles and so on.
And besides these theropod dinosaurs we've been talking about, several other creatures were found fossilized in these ancient lake beds.
70 vertebrates have been discovered, including six contentious species of so-called feathered dinosaurs. 1,000 species of invertebrates have been discovered, including insects, spiders, crustaceans, bivalves, gastropods, including bivalves that are articulated. In other words, that doesn't mean they were able to speak. It means that their valves were shut together, which suggests catastrophic burial as well. So it's a unique deposit in the species richness, but it's also unique in terms of the sheer numbers of specimens.
These specimens include many fowl.
Over 1,000 complete bird fossils have been discovered with feathers on them, true feathers that are unquestionably feathers. And most of these are uncontested birds. They are not feathered dinosaurs. They are birds that are almost equivalent to what you call a modern-day bird. So you got lots and lots of them intermixed with these feathered dinosaurs.
And the degree of preservation of these creatures is amazing.
You've got things like incredibly preserved dragonflies with all the little veinlets on the wing preserved. You've got skin impressions of mammals and other creatures. You've got feathers, lots of them, of birds and so on. Internal organs preserved, stomach contents, cartilage, beaks of birds which are made of keratin, color patterning of reptiles.
It's important to note that creation scientists are not saying that God didn't create some unusual creatures of the past. They're just saying that one creature does not evolve from another.
Indeed, we have to admit as creationists that there are more bird-like dinosaurs and dinosaur-like birds than we ever imagined there to be. I don't think there's anything like a succession of these things, but hey, it doesn't bother me as a creationist to admit that there might have been a greater variety of creatures in the past. It does not hurt my creationist model to admit that.
It's significant to remember that even though we have much scientific evidence for creation, our faith and trust is first in the Word of God. Dr. Duane Gish is Senior Vice President of ICR.
The Bible simply says that He created all these creatures that lived in the sea and the birds and living flying creatures and so forth. That's all it says about it. That God created them just as He created man and created woman. He created them directly and certainly not by causing one form to evolve into another gradually. The Bible says God created each kind, commanded each kind to reproduce after its own kind. Did not command onions to evolve into roses or apes to change into people, which is not what we see there at all. And so God created each one of these kinds. And you know, when you look at the fossil record of these various kinds of birds, these various kinds of birds appear fully formed. You don't see the various, say, a hummingbird and a duck and an eagle and so forth evolving from a common ancestor. You don't see that at all. They appear fully formed.
As our program comes to a close, we hope that you've been encouraged. It's our desire at ICR to show that the Bible can be trusted, both historically and scientifically, and to give facts that will build your faith. As Christians, we need to understand the scientific basis for our beliefs. We pray that this program will aid you in your discovery of science and the Bible. You know, most people aren't aware that today there are thousands of scientists that are convinced of the truth of biblical creation and not evolution. Our non-denominational ministry aims to restore and strengthen the Genesis foundations of the Christian faith. If you've enjoyed today's edition of Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, why not visit us on the web to find out more about the work of ICR? The address is www.icr.org. Again, www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.